Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our weekend devotion as we answer the question, who are we following? But first, let's pray. Dear God, thank you that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you reveal your Son Jesus, the living Word, through your written Word. Thank you that your Word is life and light to us. Please lead, guide, teach, and empower us through it so that we may live for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. What we are about to read comes as a result of a number of fairly strong and controversial statements made by Jesus to the Jews who were arguing with him over their faith and family ties with Abraham and with God. Because the Jews were plotting to kill him, Jesus told them they could not possibly be children of Abraham. And again, because they were seeking to murder an innocent person, Jesus pointed out that they were children of the devil. So here we are at the end of this rather heated discussion. In John chapter 8, verse 48 to 59, and I'm reading from the NIV. The Jews answered him, "Aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed?" "I am not possessed by a demon," said Jesus, "but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. I tell you the truth, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." At this, the Jews exclaimed, "Now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say that if anyone keeps your word, he will never taste death? Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are?" Jesus replied, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." "You are not yet 50 years old," the Jews said to him, "and you have seen Abraham?" "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." At this, they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. Just to there, and may God bless his word to us today and always. When some people say they follow Jesus, there is a likelihood that if one were to interrogate what is understood about who Jesus is and what following him means to them, there may be a deficit in that understanding, especially when compared with how Jesus spoke of himself and what exactly he calls us to as his followers. For example, some might only see Jesus as this super gracious, all-embracing person who couldn't possibly find fault with them. However, it is so important that we follow Jesus as Jesus describes it. To do this effectively is to have this one thing settled in our hearts, who this Jesus is, particularly in this day and age, and then help others to understand it as well. Our world is saturated with different faiths, ideologies, and worldviews that contend for the souls of men, women, and children. The lines that separated them from the Christian faith in areas where they were once naturally distinct, have become increasingly blurred. For example, in the early 1920s, Christian atheism arose through academia. Basically, and I'm quoting here, it rejects the theistic claims of Christianity, but draws its beliefs and practices from Jesus' life and teachings, as recorded in the New Testament Gospels and other sources. More recently, in our denomination, we have had to contend with a minister who is a professor of the Department of Greek and Latin Studies of a well-known university in Johannesburg. He argued in a paper that, and I quote, "There are good reasons for seriously exploring the option of an alternative Christian theology which is secular in the sense that it is based upon this world alone." In the final words of his paper, he makes the following statement, and I quote again, "The dualisms between body and soul, this life and the hereafter, this reality and a supernatural realm, can be fruitfully abandoned in favor of a secular vision. Miracles are impossible. A theistic intervening God does not exist. Prayer makes only sense as prayer to the self. Alternative practices like contemplation and meditation are more meaningful ways to help people gain connection with reality and to come to terms with their environment. End of quote. So we see the understanding of who Jesus is has changed somewhat and has been corroded from within and without the church. And as the world has increasingly become more secular, more and more people seem to be bent on Christianity being excluded from society along with other religions. We find this sentiment expressed in the well-known words of a song by John Lennon called Imagine, and it's embraced the world over. The words go like this: Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one. Imagine no possessions, I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger, a brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. And so he goes on to sing the chorus, you may say I'm a dreamer. By the way, imagine no possessions. This dreamer's net worth was roughly $200 million, and he owned several luxury properties. And so consequently, the church needs to be certain about who this Jesus is that we follow. Because we not only live in a world where religious faith is generally called into question, but more precisely, that the God of the Bible is viewed with suspicion, even contempt, and the notion of miracles and faith are seen to be incompatible with rational thinking, proof, and reason. And who Jesus is constantly being questioned as a result. Now, in our text, the Jews attack Jesus at every level. In verse 48, aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed? The Jews were using this term Samaritan to be abusive and nasty. They were not mistaking Jesus for a Samaritan, since according to verse 20, this whole discussion takes place in the treasury of the temple, a place where no Samaritan was permitted to come. So they knew he was a Jew. Samaritans were considered to be the lowest form of life on the earth, and in this way, they were showing their extreme contempt and hatred of Jesus. The second charge was more serious and arose as a response to Jesus' words in verse 44, where he said of the Jews, "You belong to your father, the devil." Such strong accusations from the leading spiritual figures in the community might cast a shadow over the integrity and ministry of Jesus, and no doubt they wanted that to happen. In response, Jesus shifts the direction of the conversation when he makes the following statement in verse 51. One that would prove to be very important for the people then and for us today. He said, "I tell you the truth, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." Now, if Jesus ever wanted to upset his listeners, he was on the right track. The Jews immediately react, "Now we know you are demon-possessed. Abraham and the prophets died, so are you trying to say you are greater than our father Abraham?" And this question is posed in the Greek in such a way that Jesus ought to say no. But this was not just about them asking, "Do you think you are better than Abraham?" For the Jews, the issue was that Abraham and the prophets kept God's word, yet they died. Now, by Jesus saying those who keep his word will never die, he was inferring that he was greater than God. The Jews were once again caught up in a literal understanding of what Jesus meant, accusing him of saying that they would not die a physical death at all. Today, people do much the same thing as they latch onto a word or a statement and extrapolate it into something very different than it really is. Of course, Jesus meant that they would experience eternal life as they put their faith in him, simultaneously inferring that he was God. And so we can see the real need for us to be very clear about who we are following. Once again, the conversation escalates, becomes even more tense as Jesus unfolds a statement that will clarify his view on who he really is. He tells his critics that through his witness to the kingdom of God and his works, God has honored him, has approved of him and his message. This is in verse 54. The very same God that they claim to know. And by this, Jesus is also inferring that they obviously do not know God as well as they claim, since they are unable to see God in action through his ministry. To add insult to injury, Jesus points again to Abraham and says, "Your father Abraham, whom you claim to be family of, he saw my day and was glad," meaning he witnessed my coming and my ministry in a prophetic sense. And yet again, all the Jewish leaders take Jesus' words literally, which is ridiculous. And so they say it, "You are not even 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham, so you are mad or possessed." To which Jesus makes another of his I am statements in verse 58. But this one is very significant. It is not simply the verb to be. Instead, he reaches back to the name of God Moses received. "Tell the people, I am sent you." And this is from Exodus chapter 13, verse 14. When Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, before Abraham was born, I am," this is recorded in the Greek as "I exist." That is, to exist in an absolute sense. It was an unmistakable reference to Exodus chapter 13, verse 14, and a claim to deity, which elicited the rage of the crowd so that they wanted to kill him. And while we read that Jesus hid himself, the correct wording is he was hidden, no doubt by the Father. As we close then, it's very clear that in this day and age, we cannot simply agree with those who only view Jesus as a good and wise man. He was far more than that, and we should state as much. Otherwise, we acknowledge that his claim on our lives is rather weak. Who would want to follow only a wise man? Certainly not me. Everything about this encounter and subsequent conversation informs us that Jesus claimed to be God the Son. This is the Jesus we follow, God the Son. Whatever one might say about Jesus being a great moral teacher, it is his claim of deity that we are confronted with, leaving room for only one of three responses. Either he was a lunatic, a liar, or truly God, just as he claimed to be. The truth is, how we understand Jesus is revealed and will continue to be revealed in our lives and how we live them. May God help us to live out our conviction that we follow Jesus, God's Christ, God the Son, who along with the Father and the Spirit is one God. Amen. Let us pray. Jesus, you have always been and are the light of the world. Would you shine your light in us today? Chase away the darkness of sin, the darkness of fear and doubt and despair. Fill us with the light of your truth that you have always been, always existed in community with the Father and the Spirit. And so we follow you. Because of these truths, please produce in us the fruit of righteousness, the evidence that your Holy Spirit lives in us and works in us and works through us. Make of us a shining example of your amazing grace, redeeming love, and life-changing power. May others be drawn to you through us. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. And God bless you.